The Ira Kaufman Podcast, as always, is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. General Manager Brian Danahy at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. He knows you've been thinking about moving up to Cadillac luxury, and if so, now's the time during the Tournament of Savings at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Right now, get move-up sales event savings on a 2019 XT5 crossover. Drive for only $339 a month at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or click edmorsecadillactampa.com. That's edmorsecadillactampa.com. See the dealer for all the details. The offer expires at the end of this month. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, they are right there on Causeway Boulevard. Total savings up to $11,000 on all remaining 2018 Cadillac models. They are all on clearance at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Their website, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. They have their own tournament of savings as well, so get over there. We are pleased to bring you the podcast today, and all of Ira's work is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Let's get to the star of the show. Here's the Sage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Boys and girls, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the king of Newport Richie, Mr. Ira Kaufman. There he is, presented in all his glory by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Ira's cutting me off. What's up, Ira?
Well, I wore this shirt on Bay News 9 in all its glory. You know, Ed Morse Cadillac. Announce it to the world, baby. You know, Steve, you're up against it tonight because last week, the Kemper just poured his passion out over the airwaves. Got a lot of great reaction. You're sitting in the catbird seat. People want to hear your raw emotions tonight, Stevie. I got a feeling you got a few bottled up that you might let go.
Ira, come on, calm down. This podcast is about you, not about me, Ira. We want to hear from you. You are the sage. All right, Ira, so you know what? Since you brought up Lee's rant on the podcast last week, for those who missed it, last week's episode from Thursday, you can find it. iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, Joe Bucks fan. Lee went on a tirade, a passionate, full of love and life tirade, that if the Bucks draft a linebacker at number 5 overall,
no matter who the linebacker
is, doesn't matter. It's nothing personal against Devin White or the guy from Michigan.
Right.
He will lose his mind.
He'll be done with the Bucks.
Because he is convinced that's the wrong move from a franchise that doesn't seem to understand the value of a defensive lineman versus a linebacker. And it's an understandable take.
And he likes to quote Louis Riddick, Steve, who said a month ago that the only way you can play pass defense in this league is by putting the quarterback on his ass. And there's something to be said for that.
Well, what I want to throw into that is, for me personally, I really don't care. Just pick the right freaking guys, because the Bucks have a tremendous habit of picking the wrong freaking guys. And I don't care who's on the roster, as Bruce Arians himself said very eloquently maybe a month ago. He said, look, at number 5 overall, here's what you do. You pick the guy who you're most certain is going to be the 10-year guy.
That's right.
Potential Hall of Famer.
A second contract guy. That's right.
A 10-year guy, he said. Potential Hall of Famer. And then you sit back and you hope you never, ever, ever pick there again. And that's how you approach it. So if the Buccaneers believe that that guy, in my mind, if that guy is a middle linebacker.
He's a better prospect than anybody else sitting on the board.
Or if it was Quentin Nelson, who's not in this draft. Or whoever it is. That's the guy you get, the safe guy. You know when they did not do that, Ira? They did not do that when Luke Kuechly was on the board. And everybody knew that this guy is safe. He is a home
plug
run.
Plug and play.
Right out of the linebacker catalog. He is a chiseled, perfect guy to pick. They didn't do it. Even with Greg Schiano being an ex-linebacker and a linebacker's coach, they went with the mindset of, you know what? Let's draft Mark Barron because he can cover Tony Gonzalez and Jimmy Graham and the new wave basketball tight ends and the hell with anything else. And you know what? It turned out.
And he's from Alabama, and they coach him up at Alabama.
And after all freaking that, turns out Barron was a linebacker, and they didn't even know it.
And now he's gone.
And he's got a new team and a $6 million a year contract. So I don't care who they draft. Just pick the right guy, which they just seem to screw up. So, but you know what? I want to turn it back to you, Ira. That rant by Lee, you've had time to think about
that,
it.
That rant by itself is bit should put me back in the top 50 ahead of freaking, what's the name from the O.J. Simpson trial? I don't even want to say her name anymore. I'm tired of her.
So, now, in all seriousness, though, Ira, you've had time to reflect on that thought. How do you feel about it at number five? Where does your passion sit?
I think you made a very, very compelling case that if you can get a guy that's in an 8-year – I'll go 8 years. It doesn't have to be 10 years. 8 years is an eternity in the NFL. A perennial pro bowler, Steve. I'm not talking about Hall of Fame. That's aiming high, too high. And I don't want to hear that Sweat's got Hall of Fame potential draped all over him and Quentin Williams is a Hall of Famer. That's stupid. That's just nuts. But if Devin White is an 8-year Buccaneer, second contract Buccaneer, 4 Pro Bowls, maybe 1 or 2 All-Pros as an inside linebacker. Who the hell's going to argue with that pick? But you got to do your homework, and you got to make sure this is the guy. Take the best freaking guy on the board, unless you think he's a quarterback, and then you don't take him. I understand that. If the guy's the best guy, you take him. I'm with you on that. Yeah, it's a draft heavy on the defensive lineman draft. I understand that. I could use that as a counter-argument. Maybe a good player will fall into the second round. You got a high second-round pick. Maybe you trade back. You go back into the first round. There's a guy sitting there like Oliver at number 18, number 20. So you grab Oliver, and meanwhile, you also got White. I mean, I don't think the Bucs should absolutely have to be locked into a defensive line. That's how you get in trouble, Steven.
So what you're saying, Ira, is if you could draft the next Gerald McCoy, you better well do it.
Well, I don't think anybody can say McCoy was a lousy draft pick, even though he was the number 3 overall pick. You think Sue's had a better career? I won't argue with you, but it seems to me Sue keeps bouncing around from team to team, Steve. That doesn't look great on Sue's all-time resume. I don't think Sue's a Hall of Famer. In my opinion, he's not a Hall of Famer. So we can argue about that. Well, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
For those unaware, Ira has the only vote in the Tampa Bay area in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. How many years now? 14 years?
05 was my first year when I went up to McEwen. 2 weeks before we got to Detroit, I said, Tom, thanks for recommending me to the board. This is going to be my first time in there. You got any advice for a young journalist? Young. I was 50 years old. And he goes, Ira, there's only one thing you got to know. Keep your mouth shut. You're a rookie. You know how hard it is for me to keep my mouth shut in an 8-hour meeting, Stevie?
I know how hard it is in a 20-minute meeting, Ira. Come on. Now, listen, speaking of Hall of Fame, I'm glad you brought that up because your friend, our friend John Lynch, 49ers general manager, had his news conference with Dee Ford and Quan Alexander.
Don't mention Dee Ford to me. I'm a Chiefs fan, and I'm not happy about it.
I really like Dee Ford. I had never listened to him speak before. I thought he was a lot of fun, but in a not a goofy kind of way. You know, just kind of a fun guy. Anyway.
The Chiefs replaced Dee Ford with Alex Okafor. I think that's a loss. That's a lose for the Chiefs.
Well, let me get to Okafor. I'm glad you mentioned him, too. All right, so here we are. John Lynch. I watched all 25 minutes of this news conference, Ira.
Did he mention my name with the Hall of Fame?
He did not.
Did he say how disappointed he is in my presentation? He did not.
He did not.
All right.
But I'll talk to him about that. I'll see him soon.
Yeah, you'll see him.
All right, so, Sage, here we go. He said he was asked about...
This is verbatim. This is a quote.
This is not verbatim, but... He did say that Quan Alexander, one reason he wanted him was that Quan really makes the guys around him better. Now,
how do you think that's going down in Tampa Bay today? I mean, come on. What's going on with Lynch?
Well, suppose John Lynch is right.
If John Lynch is right, they got the worst defensive talent of any NFL team in the last 10 years. I mean, I think they were 31st in scoring defense. Am I correct, Steven? 31st, I believe that was right.
Does it matter when you get below 25, Ira?
Oakland might have been the only team below them for scoring. Anyway, first of all, how does Lynch know what goes on with Quan Alexander and his effect on other players? Is he talking to somebody at one Buck place? Does he got tentacles inside the building,
Steven? Well, you wrote the whole column saying that he talks to Derek Brooks on a regular basis. Now, who knows the Bucs linebackers better than Mr. Derek Brooks?
He also probably talks to Rondé on a regular basis. Rondé's close to the Bucs. Look, I've been straightforward with my impressions on Quan Alexander. Not polished, out of position, misses tackles, but I would have tried to keep him. I think he was out of their price range, Steve. I'm not going to slam light in the Bucks for this. I'm not, because all it takes is one suitor. Coming off a serious injury, but I like what he brings to the locker room now, raising the level of guys around him. Levante David's been a good player since he got here. I don't see Quan Alexander's had a big effect on Levante David. What'd he do? Raise Darius Taylor's profile? So I don't buy that from Lynch. He's got to justify giving him all that money.
Do you think Lynch believes that? Or is he blowing smoke?
It's the classic blowing smoke. After you blow $14 million, you blow smoke. And that's what you do. What else did he say, Steve? He talked up D. Ford as the second coming of Bruce Smith.
D. Ford made it clear that his film speaks for his seasons where his sack total wasn't what it might have been.
He was a late bloomer, Ford. He was with the Chiefs. Didn't do much his first few years.
But, you know, he stands by his film and all that other stuff. But one thing that was interesting from Lynch, and it backs up Lee, Lynch was asked about Ford, and I'll read this to you verbatim because it really goes back to the old school Bucks and really to what we started talking about with the value of defensive linemen. I just thought it was really cool the way John Lynch phrased this. And he took a shot, really, at Denver, at his old teammates. He says, quote, "I know in my career I learned the tough way that in Tampa, three Mississippi was a lot easier than the five Mississippi that I grew to know in Denver. And that's no disrespect to the guys that I played with in Denver. It's just we had something special that makes everybody better. You know, I think that's always been true in football, and that holds true today." So he was basically saying that pass rush, the three-count rush versus the five-count, that's all the difference in the world.
Steve, did he indicate in any way during this 25-minute rant that other teams were coming hard after Quan Alexander, and thus he got in some kind of a bidding war? If you wanted Alexander, you got to pay an exorbitant price. Any suggestion about that? Because, Steve, I'm sure that thought crossed your mind. Like, is Lynch bidding against himself? I mean, the Bucks weren't going to go into that stratosphere.
Well, Quan himself referenced a few players that he talked to about which team he should go to. So Quan really implied that he had multiple offers. And one thing I wanted to ask you, Sage, that didn't come up when this originally happened with Quan, but I think it's poignant now that the Bucks have been signing all these nickel and dime free agents, for lack of a better term. A few million here, $4 million there, 1 year deal here, whatever. The reports were that the Bucks put an offer in front of Quan and he was going to test the market. Do you believe that they put a contract in front of him? Whatever that is, let's say it was $8 million a year plus incentives if you're healthy, blah, blah, blah.
I do.
So why did they do that?
So they can say that they tried to keep him. Maybe a little PR angle to it. I think they lowballed him as it turned out. They didn't necessarily think it was a lowball offer. But, you know, they weren't in the ballpark of the 49ers who spent a fortune so far, you know, in the last 10 days. And that's what you do when you have a terrible season, which Lynch's guys did.
He's good at that.
You know, and they came on strong at the end of 2017. Looked like a team on the rise. Now, look, when your quarterback goes down, Steve Garoppolo. Now, that backup quarterback didn't play badly, Steve. Didn't play badly.
No, Todd Monken's guy, he played very well.
But the defense fell apart. Absolutely fell apart. So, we'll see. If you're looking for Quan Alexander to be the next Luke Kuechly, I think you're going to be woefully disappointed, though. I do.
All right, Sage, enough of Quan. He's out of here. When John Lynch said that he raised the game of the guys around him,
that's hard to make that argument.
If Lynch is right, we're all doomed. Yeah, we're all freaking doomed if
John
Lynch is
right. What
does that
say about the talent on this defense?
Absolutely. All right, Ira, so the Buccaneers signed a safety today from the Green Bay Packers. The new safety is an undrafted player who got a few years on the field with Green Bay. He's another guy, signs a one-year deal. Kentrell Bryce, 3 years. He's made 14 starts, started 10 games last season. I guess the Packers saw enough. He's gone. The Packers' pass defense was actually better last year. Guy turns 25 soon. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's classic tier three signing. You wait for the first wave of free agency to pass. You pick at the carcasses that are left behind. There's still some good players out there. We'll see. A lot of veteran quarterbacks out there that we'll discuss in a minute or two. Possibilities for this Buck team, depending on what Arian's impression is of little Ryan Griffin in OTAs and training camp. It very much fits the profile of the guys that the Bucks have been coming after, Steve. Low budget.
Since the last podcast,
guys that they think they can coach up, Steve, and get the most out of these guys.
A backup in Denver, Shaq Barrett, got a Super Bowl ring. He's been a backup, special teams guy.
They got a guard.
Linebacker, defensive end, paying him on a one-year deal, I think $4 or $5 million. You know, they got a backup guard. They got a lot of depth signings here. But what do you make of all these one-year deals? Because I'll ask you this, Ira. Whoever pans out is going to want to get paid. So then that puts the Bucks in a position of needing a lot more money to keep a guy like a Breshad Perriman or Shaq Barrett. You know, Okafor, who you mentioned, he, I believe, got $6 or $7 million a year. And he had 4 sacks last year and started for the Saints coming off an injury. And he was a guy the Bucks could have signed and didn't. And could have signed him 2 years ago before the Saints got a hold of him. Shaq Barrett, he's young. He'll get $6-7 million if he has a decent year. And you know who's also in a contract year? Our good friend, Mr. Nassib. So I don't even know what the plan is. Do you still? Have you figured it out?
Well, Steve, I don't think that Arians and his staff are worried about how we're going to pay these guys if they pan out. They'll find a way, Steve, to keep some of these guys if they turn out to be effective Buccaneers. Steve, they'll find a way. Maybe McCoy will be part of that. Who knows if Winston's going to be part of this team going forward. That's $20 mil right there that you might be paying a rookie quarterback. I mean, who knows in 2020 if Winston doesn't pan out. You know, you got to go draft the quarterback. So, Steve, I think you might be getting ahead of yourself with these one-year deals. It's a new way of doing business for Jason Light. I'm sure it's in consultation with the guys who pay the bills, and he's explaining this philosophy. But I think going forward, they wouldn't mind paying the money because it'll mean that the guy did a good job for the 2019 Bucks, and that's all Light and Arians care about.
Well, you can say they'll find a way to pay him. But they didn't find a way to pay Kwan, didn't find a way to pay Humphreys. And you know who's also, they got a decision to make on Vernon Hargraves coming up with his fifth-year option. Can't pay everybody. We've learned
well,
that the hard
way. Bryce ain't going to command $14 mil a year from now like Kwan Alexander. So no. I understand your point.
But I don't know. I just haven't figured out the plan yet, Ira. But I know when you figure it out, you'll tell me in great detail.
I still think
you're obsessed with this backup quarterback nonsense.
No, Steve. Before we get to that, I said this many times. I've never heard you whether you agree with me or you think I'm out on a limb here. But you know, everybody's obsessed with the number 5 pick and the free agent signings. And Steve, I keep going back. You got to look at the guys that are on the roster, the young guys that haven't developed, and I think that's going to be the story. That's going to be the story of the 2019 Bucks. You could argue Winston's in that group. Winston could, you know, be the first guy in that group. But I'm talking about the Justin Evans of the world. Donovan Smith, can you move up to, you know, between the 7th and 10th best tackle instead of the 15th? All these improvements add up. These young guys that, for whatever reason, Steve, it's been a constant theme on this podcast. You draft and then you don't develop. Well, does that mean the guy doesn't have enough talent or you're a lousy coach? Could be a little bit of both. But I'm interested in the Hargraves, the Evans, the Donovan Smiths, reaching the next level. Throw Carlton Davis in there. Steve, if those things happen, the Bucks would have a chance to have a good season. And Winston. Always Winston. Oh,
of course, and it comes back to the quarterback, Iris. So,
what's this obsession you're saying that I have with these
quarterbacks?
Well,
you wrote a whole column on backup quarterbacks.
I'm telling you, who says you're not going to need these guys? And do you subscribe, Steve, to the theory? And it's out there. More than a few people, intelligent people say it. If your starting quarterback goes down, your history, end of story, doesn't matter who your backup is. Do you believe that? Do you believe that, or do you believe you're taking a chance here?
No, I don't believe that for a second. It doesn't make any sense. Bruce Arians himself is living proof that he advanced with going with Stanton and then getting knocked into Gabbert. And no, of course you're not done. Look at the Bucks last year. They went 2-0, beat two playoff teams with their backup and got off to a great start. So, no, I don't buy that at all. But, of course, it's not ideal and likely, but you can't operate a football team.
I don't think you can Steve, bank on your starting quarterback playing all 16 games.
No. No, and you can't have that mentality of the backup doesn't matter, but I understand it to a point.
And I'm not saying spend a lot of money on a backup, Steve. I'm not saying that.
No, you just want a guy. Again, I don't care about the money. Get the right guy. Get the right guy. And, you know, I know you don't think Ryan Griffin's the right guy. You think he's kind of a waste of time.
I think it's a hell of a gamble, you know, for a and you keep saying this is a short-term, you know, situation here with the Bucs. With Arians,
I don't know what it is. I don't even know what it is anymore. I really don't. I'm not sure.
It's not a rebuild, is it? Is this a rebuild? I mean...
Well, does it look like move all your chips into the pot here?
Well, they stuck with McCoy. McCoy's still a Buck as we speak.
For now.
I got nothing against Ryan Griffin, Steve. He hasn't thrown a damn pass. Everybody can look good in August, and you know that. You know that.
Well, Ira, I think it's a guaranteed given that come August.
You want competition.
There will be a guy competing with Griffin for number two, and he'll be a legitimate competitor for that, and we'll see.
Is Glennon off the table? Should he be?
Well, they're going to wait because they don't want to pay Mike Glennon $4 million a year to be a backup, $3.5 million. So they'll probably wait. And if he's around, yeah, maybe they bring him in for $1.5 million.
It's not going to be Colin Kaepernick. You and I both know that.
No, of course not, Ira. Look, Ryan Fitzpatrick moves on. And do you think they're tanking in Miami or they just see a guy who won a couple of games? Who proved that he can handle some adversity? And what's going on there?
It looks like a tank job. Trust the process, my friend, in South Florida. I think they're looking at the 2020 quarterback crop. I don't think Miami's locked into taking a quarterback this year. I don't. This is not a great year for quarterbacks unless you can get Murray, maybe. He might be able to sell some tickets down there, but I don't think they can get Murray because most people don't think he gets past Arizona. I don't think they're going to be interested in Josh Rosen. I think they're looking at 2020. Some people think the Raiders are looking at 2020 when they get to Vegas, supposedly. Boy, if you're a Dolphin fan, Steve, you're beside yourself. You can't have any illusions about Ryan Fitzpatrick, Steve. He's a very good backup, but the more he's exposed, you know it, Steve. I'm talking to the converted here. He's going to revert to Ryan Fitzpatrick. We saw it happen last year. I believe he lost his last five starts in Tampa. Am I correct? I believe it was 0-5.
Yeah, of course. Of course. It was horrendous. And, you know, we all enjoyed the little
But he did a fantastic job in the beginning. You can't ask for more.
He was the best 2-5 in the history of football, Ira.
I had a line in my column, Steve. I don't know if you agree with it. It was a little bit of a supposition on my point, but I'm sticking with it. I said that there were... people in the locker room, maybe more than a few, Steve, when the bye week concluded and you're now in week six, you're going to Atlanta, you're 2-2. Winston's ready to come back. He could have come back for Chicago, but didn't. I believe there were people in that locker room that wanted to stick with Fitzpatrick. You believe I'm off base there? I do. I think there were people.
I don't know. I don't really think there were many beyond DeSean Jackson. I think everybody really understood what was going on. And Fitzpatrick was awful in Chicago.
And they were coming off a terrible game in Chicago. I mean, a terrible game.
You know, bye week, you go back to Jameis. It really wasn't that strange. But you may be right, Ira. You may be right. And I don't think the locker room would have revolted, let's put it that way, if they did stick with Fitzpatrick. And that might let you know that, yeah, there were some strong feelings and some warm feelings in his direction.
Steve, do you think that they're too worried about Jameis Winston's psyche with this whole backup situation? We don't want him looking over his shoulder pads. We don't want him feeling threatened. Steve, can you go overboard on that a little bit?
Well, I think it's embarrassing for Jameis, right? If I'm Jameis and I'm hearing the coach say...
I'm a fifth-year pro, man.
Yeah, I mean, I made the Pro Bowl. I'm Jameis Winston. I hit all these passing numbers earlier than other people at the same age. And my coach is out there saying that I sort of can't handle a powerful backup. That's embarrassing. I don't know how else to say it. That is embarrassing. If Dirk Cutter was saying that about Jameis, you'd have all these people out there saying, oh, he's disrespecting Jameis, and no wonder he doesn't get along. And, you know.
We're not talking about an open competition with Winston. We're talking about
a backup.
A strong backup.
Yeah, I think it's stupid and embarrassing. And frankly, if Bruce Arians, he's got to know that he's the kind of guy who can just come into the locker room and say, look, guys, Ryan Fitzpatrick over here or this guy over here, Ryan Tannehill, whoever it is, this guy is the backup.
Winston, you're getting the number one snap.
So,
and that's it.
No confusion here, guys. That's it.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, so I don't understand it. And I think what makes it even more comical is that here goes Miami. They trade Tannehill to the Titans. And how is Marcus Mariota ever going to survive with an experienced quarterback?
I haven't heard a word coming out of Nashville about that.
It's just goofy. I don't know. I don't really get it. I mean, I understand the mentality of Arians thinking in his head that we want a different backup because there's history here with Fitz. And
I can understand that.
The way it was phrased was a little strange.
Are we going to have Buck players back on the field in 2 weeks, Stephen? Am I correct on that? 2 weeks?
They'll be back doing their conditioning, stretching and all that stuff. And I don't know how exciting that is, Sage. But, you know, as you sit here, the Saints, you know, they lost their center, Max Unger. They signed a new guy from the Vikings.
They lost a running back, a good one.
They lost an excellent running back, guy that would have looked great in a Bucs uniform. And, you know, there have been other moves in the division. But nothing too
Atlanta
extraordinary.
Atlanta hasn't turned anybody's head, you know.
So, I mean, where do you think the Bucs stand?
And you got Carolina not really sure about Cam Newton's shoulder, Steve. I mean, that was a serious injury. Newton was in bad, bad shape at the end of the season. And that's why people are jumping on Ron Rivera. Look at the Panthers. I believe they were 6-2 at the midpoint.
Yeah.
And kind of fell apart. Newton couldn't throw the ball more than 20 yards, Steve. You saw it when they played the Bucs late in the season. He probably shouldn't have been out there, Steve. Newton probably shouldn't have been out there.
But, you know, Sage, I look at the Bucs. I was talking to someone about this morning, and I still see it, and it pains me. It really does, Ira. I still see a team that needs to find a winning culture. They need a coach in here, which I believe Arians will get the ball rolling in the right direction as far as changing the mindset of some of these guys. But I still see the fourth best quarterback in the division. We don't know about Newton, but I still see a guy who's fourth best quarterback.
A
ragged-ass defense that has to learn a new system and may not have the players suited for it. And I see a team relying on a bunch. They're going to be relying on some rookies in some very significant situations. And I see a quarterback in Jameis who's lost 12 consecutive road game starts and might be a little bit fragile mentally, because that's sort of what the coach has been telling us.
Now, Steve, you got Buck fans listening to this pod. You're going to drive them off the road.
No, I'm trying to look at the team and find that thing I can dial in on and say, they're going to go 10-6. They're going to do this. And I can't find it yet. Now, I know
What if Winston's an elite quarterback? What if he is?
Well, then he'll put the team on his back for probably three games in the season, and that might propel them to 10-6. But there's just so much to get done. I think a lot of fans are just feeling that it's not going to be as fast as we want it to be.
I think, Steve, the way I look at it, I think they're a running game away from having a tremendous offense. However, they haven't had a running game in 3 years, so you don't snap your fingers and get it. And I think they're going to count on Bowles and a new scheme to turn around this defense. I think if they get a good right guard, maybe a swing tackle, and another back, I think they're short in the backfield right now. I don't think they can count on Ronald Jones, Steve.
Hey, throw in a kicker and a corner and some good blitzers, and you got a team there.
I just think they're counting on Bowles and the scheme to make a significant defense.
Yeah, it's the same
change in this.
It's
defense.
Nothing new from last week. These pieces of all these free agents, to be a little positive, I'm sure a few of them are going to work out. I'm sure we got some surprises there. Whoever it is, Buchanan, Barrett.
Oh,
safety,
by the way, in that draft and develop, and I'm looking for players to take it.
Yep.
You throw Noah Spence into the argument, Steve. It doesn't mean I believe Spence is a sure thing to be an effective NFL player, but Steve, he's Exhibit A in terms of a guy that has never been developed.
He's not going to get on the field, Ira. He'd have to look so good in training camp to get past Nassib.
Jason Light wants him on the field. Jason Light wants him on the field.
I'm not sure what Jason Light wants matters anymore.
Fair.
We just don't know. And the running back situation. All right, Peyton Barber's back.
Arians likes him.
What do we got at running back?
That's why you wanted Ingram. You wanted that 1-2 punch.
You know, it, I mean, you're talking about transforming the running game. There were some options in free agency, and these guys didn't even go that expensive. Ingram didn't get a ton of money. Nothing compared to what Doug Martin got years ago. Neither did Tevin Coleman. And it doesn't mean he was going to set the world on fire, but
I don't know. There's nothing wrong with Tevin Coleman.
Would you have rather had Mark Ingram or Shaq Barrett on this team?
That's a no-brainer.
Well, not to Mr. Jason Light. And I wrote something today, Ira, that the best kicker on the market, free agent market, went to Seattle. The Pro Bowl kicker from the AFC, 27 years old, for less than $4 million a year. So we're redoing Cairo Santos for $1 million?
Will you stop poking holes in Buck roster moves over there?
I don't understand it. And I'm not poking holes, Ira. I just want it to work. But I don't understand the logic, because a year ago, Jason Light spent just under $4 million on Chandler Catanzaro. So a year ago, Light thought it was okay to spend $4 million on a kicker. And now this year he doesn't.
Let me say this, Steve. What's going on? You know who shares your, I'm not going to say pessimism, your questions about
confusion.
The Bucks.
Confusion.
Vegas. Vegas shares it. And they usually know what they're doing. Not always. There's always a few teams that are listed that, 20-1 to win the division that end up winning the freaking division. That's what makes the NFL great, Steve. That's a big part of it. Every year, five new teams win divisions. Well, when the hell is it going to be this franchise? So the Bucs are 80-1 to win the Super Bowl. Cleveland's 14-1. That's got to shake up Buck fans, because Cleveland was the team you always joked about. They were like the Bucs from 83 to 96. National jokes. Johnny Carson used to make fun of the Bucs, and now you got Kimmel making fun of the Browns. That's a problem, Steve. Suppose the Browns win 10 games and the Bucs win 6. There's nothing to be said anymore. I mean, this could end up being in the bottom.
There's nothing left to say anyway. Look, if Jameis takes that stride, that leap you were just talking about, forget about becoming elite. If he takes a good stride and they win 8-9 games, that's awesome. But I'm still concerned about what's next. I still don't get the plan when
you
I look at the roster.
Plan.
So, I'm not really sure.
Now, by the way, for our listeners who are wondering, where are the dulcet tones of Mr. Lee DeKemper on this podcast?
Vegas.
He's in Vegas. He's putting $100 on a hard 8 right now, Steven. And I don't mean 8 wins for the Bucks. I mean a hard 8. He will be back for the next podcast. He better come back with a couple of stories. He always runs into somebody. One year he ran into Steve Dumick at the gambling table. This year he might run into DeSean Jackson. You never know, Steve.
Well, I think it was last year he was, gambling with Brenton Buckner.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
And that was a long story. But we started talking about Lee's rant and what the Bucks are going to do at number 5. We got a lot of time to talk about that. It's going to be the focus of a lot of podcasts. We'll get more into Montez.
If you do your poll, Steve, which you will do, and I know you already had one on free agency, you've already gotten a couple of thousand votes, so bravo for that. But you're going to have one, what should the Bucks do in the first round of the draft? I'm going to say it right now. A majority, and I'd say over 50% of the respondents will say trade down. They love the trade down, Steven. And you know what? You might like the trade down, too.
No, they won't. I'll say it's going to be about 25% go trade down.
They love the trade down, Stevie.
They love the trade down when they're not sure if the guy is there. But everybody's got a guy in this draft. And, I don't think there's any.
You haven't mentioned Sweat, Steve.
Well, look,
there's a reason to sweat over Sweat.
We'll get into the heart issue next time. See if some more news comes out about that. I have a feeling some news is going to trickle out.
Could have been a plant.
I mean, it's legit, but the response to the plant is coming, so I'd rather talk about it when we have some more knowledge.
You got it, my friend.
We're not pessimistic here. For me, I'm confused. Lee's on edge because he has a feeling the Bucks are going to screw it up. I think as the sage, that this year is really all about Winston, and if he can't advance, the Glazers aren't going to want to pay him $31 million a year. The more I think about it, Ira, when Arians sat down at that meeting with the Glazers and laid out his plan, and they said, well, Bruce, if Jameis doesn't work out, we'll draft a quarterback in 2020, and you'll be here as the quarterback whisperer to lead him, to groom him, and then you move on. And I think Arians said, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's sort of where we are.
So it's a win-win. It's a win-win.
Win-win for the Glazers with the right quarterback team in place. Now the question is, do they have the right quarterback and the right plan?
Steve, I always go back and take the long-range view in the context. I always do it, Steve, and I don't think we can do it enough. You can't do it enough. This is not a couple-of-year tailspin. This is not a little pothole. This is 11 years, longest drought in the NFC. And, Steve, it is what it is. We're not making this stuff up. They could go into 2020 with the longest playoff drought out of 32 teams. So much for anybody that says we're too hard on this franchise, Steve. I'm sorry. I'm not sure that's possible. Get out of here, Steve.